Blue Chip Sports Network presents Get in the Game with Eric, Brian, Reggie, and Jordan on iTunes, the Blue Chip Broadcasting YouTube channel, and BlueChipBroadcasting.com.
Welcome to another edition of Get in the Game. It's a sports podcast with four really intelligent and highly good-looking men. Okay, maybe three. Ask Reg.
We must have four guests, Eric. I don't know about.
I just want to welcome you into episode number 84. It's the summer 2020 edition. It's going to be more of a sports talk show than normal. We're going to take on a number of different topics, and the gang's all here once again, including Brian Nelson. Welcome,
Brian. Good evening, Eric.
It's good to have you back. Jordan Santa Maria is in my bottom left-hand corner.
Eric, what's going on, man? I got my backyard project going right now. I got an outdoor pool. I'm ready. I can't leave my house.
No. So, I want to hear about the outdoor pool. We got to digress for one minute. Tell me about the outdoor pool.
All right. So
did you buy a special shovel?
No, I didn't buy a special shovel, but I'm currently digging out all the weeds and, you know, raking it all out, and it's almost level. I'm going to put a little tarp down. I got the above ground pool. It's like 10 by 30 or something like that. So it's going to be fine.
10 inches by 30 inches. That's called a waiting pool, Jordan.
I'm gonna sit in it.
Have to level it out.
Hey, don't knock it, Eric. What is this, episode 82, right? Is that right?
84.
So I'm calling it right now. Episode 95 in Jordan's above ground pool. We can social distancing if we're still in the middle of this coronavirus thing. We'll put our laptops on some floaties, some pool noodles, and we'll kick back and we'll have a good time.
I love there that. You go. I love that.
As you can tell, the Professor Reggie Wright is here. There's another just wonderful idea coming from Mr. Wright.
Hey, but Eric, the good news is we got Reg off the ledge.
Yes, we did. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. The topics we're going to cover tonight, we're going to talk about Cam Newton to the New England Patriots. That kind of took me by surprise. I think it ended up being about the best place that Cam could have helped to land. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball as well. And since they're back and we've got Reggie off the ledge, they're bringing with them some new rules. Some new rules that are interesting. We'll talk about those just a little bit. And then, of course, we want to spend some time talking about the NBA bubble. And Jordan has some interesting ideas what he might take into his own personal bubble, since that's kind of what we have here now. And I guess part of that will be a little waiting pool that he'll take with him. And then we'll also talk just real briefly about who we think may be the top stars that, as it gets closer to the season in either basketball, baseball, or football, what major star may go, no thanks, I'm not going to play. We'll talk about that and much more here in episode 84. But let's start with Cam Newton. The big news this week, Cam Newton signing with the Patriots. And let's just start by good signing, bad signing. Do you think he can really take the place of Tom Brady?
Well, Eric, I think it's a low risk, high possible reward for the Patriots. If Newton pans out and plays like he did 3 years ago, you know, that they could be really, really good.
And anytime you have to anytime you have to use that phrase, if he can play like he did 3 years ago, that's not a good start.
No, but I said it's low risk. It's low risk financially. If he doesn't play, if it doesn't pan out, you go to Stidham, who's going to probably be your quarterback anyways. And if he does pan out, then you got a chance to be pretty darn good, because I think their defense is still going to be good. I think they've got better weapons for him than maybe they had when Brady was there. And so for the Patriots, it's a very typical Bill Belichick signing. Buy guys 50 cents on the dollar and hope you can turn them around by bringing them into your culture.
Okay, but we're talking about the quarterback, Reg. We're talking about the quarterback. And the relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, are we going to replicate that with Cam Newton?
Okay, Eric, you asked the question, can Cam Newton replace Tom Brady? Who gives a rip if Cam Newton can replace Tom Brady? The question is, Cam Newton replace Jared Stidham? And the answer is emphatically yes. My goodness, this guy is only 5 years removed from an NFL MVP award, you know, and he's been languishing with the mediocre Carolina Panthers. The guy's going to come back. He's going to have patience. We've seen that happen over and over and over again with the New England Patriots.
Right. Because nobody wants Christian McCaffrey in their backfield.
Watch the New England Patriots run the triple option this year. I don't even – Cam Newton is – I mean, he's set for a resurgence. I mean, it's going to be fantastic to watch. What I'm really curious about is just how much Belichick will tweak the offense, if you will. You know, we're not going to see the typical New England dink and dunk offense. We're going to see a lot of power runs, a lot of, you know, I'm sure Cam Newton will get involved in the run game. It'll be really interesting to see. Really, the question comes down to how can Bill Belichick adjust? Not how does Cam Newton fit, not how does anything like, you know, nothing like that. It's how can Bill Belichick adjust?
Because Bill Belichick is so good at adjusting to people. They don't adjust to him. He adjusts to them. I'm not buying it.
I don't care if they get along, Eric. I don't care if they get along. They don't have to go out to lunch. Come on, man. To win football.
Jordan, can you radically change the offense? From Tom Brady dropping back and dropping pinpoint passes on his receivers to Cam Newton, who really, he likes to run, he likes to pass, he likes to throw deep. You know, the short game's not really his thing.
Yeah, this is my thing, Eric. I think he's going to have to adapt to be more of a game manager. So I think it's going to be something in those terms. Like, I think Cam's game in Carolina was very much freelance. Like, he kind of was making plays his MVP season when he was incredible. Very similar to like a Patrick Mahomes, not saying that he was Patrick Mahomes that year, but you know, similar play style where he's scrambling out of the pocket, making throws out of the pocket, making big spectacular plays, where I think if him and Belichick can get on the same page and go, hey, defense is still good. Line is still solid. We have running backs that are very serviceable. You're going to have more weapons. Like Brian was talking about, if he just doesn't turn over the ball, you know, just play kind of a little conservative, bend towards Belichick's play. I think we're going to probably see another Bill Belichick special where they make a push and maybe they surprise people that are doubting Cam Newton.
So here's my thing, right? And it's nothing against Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is a great quarterback. I really do. I think he is very good. I don't know that you can do such a radical change at the most important position on your football team. It is polar opposite in personality. Tom Brady versus Cam Newton. Personality is totally opposite. Their style, totally opposite. Their leadership abilities, totally opposite. Their physical abilities, totally opposite. Their age, totally opposite. How they cost the team, totally opposite. What the duration of the contract with a single team is, totally opposite. Their injury history is totally opposite. And the pedigree, Tom Brady came out of nowhere and had to work himself into this premiership. And Cam Newton came out as the guy. It's this whole thing is totally flipping the world upside down. So, and it's not an issue of whether Cam's any good or not. It's, whoo, that is a big culture shift.
Let me ask
those
you a question.
Those are such
here.
Big words right now, Eric, totally flipping the world upside down. We've got a global pandemic and step in and flip the world upside down, huh?
We're wondering if we can actually run the ball a little bit more with a different kind of quarterback. But here's my thought. I think it's actually an easier transition for the team to bring in somebody completely different because there's going to be no comparisons to what Brady would have done because nobody takes Newton and compares him to Brady. They're two completely different quarterbacks. So I think it actually takes some pressure off of Belichick, takes pressure off of Newton. Whereas if you got a stand in the pocket, deliver the football kind of quarterback like Stidham would be, the comparisons would be ad nauseum. But with Newton, it's a completely different thing. He's turned the apple cart completely upside down, which I think actually benefits him. And I think it benefits the team because it takes some of the pressure off the comparison game.
I like it, but I think it's a little warped.
I'll tell you who disappears, guys. The Julian Edelmans, the Wes Welkers, the guys like that, you know. You're not going to see those in New England anymore until Stidham takes over.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting, I think it's going to be an interesting watch this summer, and there may not be a lot of compelling headlines. There may be, but this one I think is going to be interesting to watch because it could be, it's just going to be completely different.
Well, let me ask everybody this question. With Cam, if Cam Newton can play quarterback at least three quarters of the season, does that give New England a better chance or a worse chance of making the playoffs than if Stidham was a quarterback? Better or worse? Eric?
I don't know.
Jordan?
Oh, a lot better, I think.
Reg?
I mean, Cam Newton's a proven quarterback. I mean, yes, he's had some bumps in the road here and there, but I mean, he was an MVP caliber quarterback at one time.
But when Brady took over for
Bledsoe,
he was an unproven quarterback, and look what you got.
But you still have a championship caliber team around too. Like, it's not like your defense just disappeared, you know, all your weapons disappeared. You have a lot of the players coming back. Why not take a chance on Cam and see if he can lead that team?
Reg, what do you think?
I think New England becomes an AFC championship contender. I mean, without a doubt. Cam Newton, his career is not by any means over. He's you know, maybe in the twilight sector of his career. Twilight, you know, he's getting older, but he's still he's a proven NFL quarterback, and he's going to be surrounded with a playoff team already, which is something that he didn't really have in Carolina. I think they're in the conversation. I think they're much better. And, you know, give Stidham another year or two to develop.
And you have to remember, too, they're in the AFC. And the AFC is very top heavy. You've got Kansas City and Baltimore, and then teams 3 through 10 they're not a whole lot of different. So I think it gives them a chance to legitimately make the playoffs, whereas I think if Stidham was the quarterback, I just don't see that happening.
I mean, who's going to challenge him? Buffalo? Come on, Eric.
Hey, the Jets and the Bills
this year?
Here's the deal. You know, obviously I'm out here on my own on this. I don't think it's going to work great. But every time I'm out here on my own, I end up being right. So we'll just leave it at that. Let's talk about baseball. Now, baseball, Brian, baseball, they're bringing in some new rules, man.
Yeah, well, the 60-game season is ready to go. And here are some of the new rules.
Which, by the way, players report tomorrow.
When we tape this, they will report for testing tomorrow. Practice would begin tomorrow. Friday, July 3rd, basically 4th of July weekend. Here we go.
Eric, they don't take walk-ons, man. I know you're excited about tomorrow, but they don't take walk-ons.
They've got 60-man rosters. They've already reached out.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, I was 61st, but that's okay.
You know, I wish you guys can see this hat that Eric's wearing, because he's wearing like that fitted hat and it looks so good on him. He looks like he could just sit on the bucket and just start calling signs. I love it.
They had to leave him home because they didn't have a cup in his
size.
All right, we got the best and the worst ideas being thrown out there for this season. So here we go. We got the 60-man player pool. We've got no expanded playoffs. So we're going to have, you know, 5 playoff teams per league. You've got the universal DH. That means every team, even the National League, the pitcher is not going to hit anymore. It's going to be a DH. In extra innings, we're going to start with a runner at second base, starting in the 10th inning, try to get the game over with quicker. And, of course, Reggie's favorite, players will not be allowed to shower after the game. They have to get in their car and go home. So,
that's
best
right.
And or worst ideas in that 60-game schedule. Reg, we start with you.
Best and or worst? Well, shoot, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, I think the best idea, and it goes against my nature in terms of my relationship with baseball. I'm a traditionalist through and through. If any of you guys listening have followed our fantasy baseball league, I didn't pick a guy on my fantasy roster beyond 1950. I'm an old school through and through when it comes to baseball. But I have to admit, guys, I love the idea of starting a runner at second base in extra innings. I mean, who really needs to see a 22-inning game where, you know, it's three up, three down for an additional 11 innings until you get to the 20, you know, right? Like, who needs to see that? Well, it is instant drama as soon as the first batter steps into the batter's box in inning number 10. Instant
drama. Preach it, Reggie.
Are you noticing, hold on, Jordan, hold on, this, no, the cheering section above you here?
Yeah. Let's cut this out. I'm sorry. We gotta debate this because it's coming. I can't stand the runner at second, Reg.
Tell me about it.
It's just so weird. Like, why? Make him earn that. Let's start with a 2-1 count or a 3-1 count. Let's not throw the runner out there.
Let's play softball.
You feel like they're doing when you put a runner at second base and nobody else.
No, a runner at second.
All you're trying to do is you're going to quench the need for offense. In today's culture, you need offense. It still could be a 22-inning game, but how much more interesting if every inning is a high-stress inning? You know, every inning.
Who are you trying to win over? Are you trying to win new fans by speeding up the game? Like, if you watch the first 9 innings and you're a normal fan, you're going to finish the game.
What we're trying to do is create excitement in extra innings. That's what we're trying to do.
Oh, God.
I'm with Reggie on this one, the whole 9 yards, which is scary, but I've never found Reggie more attractive in my entire life.
I'd like to retract my statement, maybe. I don't know.
Take the runner off second, fix the count if you want to do something. Don't get crazy. Let me
ask you this, Jordan. Would it be better if it was a runner at second base, 2 outs?
See, then I get scared, though, that it's going to be out, 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 and then we're going to be in, you know, inning whatever, and it's going to take forever still, you know? I don't know.
Sure.
So Jordan, what's your favorite? Go ahead, Reg, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I just like the idea of, I understand what you're saying in terms of teams needing to earn it, Jordan. Like, if you end up in the seventh spot and you're batting in your lineup or whatever, and you've got, you know, some AAA player or anybody on the Giants coming up to bat, the runner on second base, you know, like maybe that's an unfair advantage to that team because all they have to do is loop a little bleeder into shallow left center field and you've got a 1-run lead. But I don't know, man. I just think like instantaneously all eyes are on the screen. Every pitch matters. It's almost like a playoff atmosphere.
Look, okay, I would be for the rule if the opposing team could choose the runner on second. So if I'm going to go put Bartolo Colon on second.
I choose Eric Davis. Yeah. Hey, I was 61st. I'm not on the roster.
Put Big Sexy on second, and I'm hitting a single to center, and he's only getting to third, guarantee. And he might not get there. He might not.
So I tell you what, though. I got to tell you, Reggie, your intelligence on this issue has never been more sexy.
Oh my gosh.
That a boy. Wow. That a boy.
Wow. All right. Eric, you started off the podcast with telling us all how good we look. Like, this is getting a little uncomfortable.
I have to say, Eric, this is episode 84. I have the top 5, right? 4 of them involve Kipchoge, and one of them involves what you just said to me.
That's right. That's right.
Oh man, Jordan, can you please tell me what your best worst? Because the rails left long ago.
Yeah, long obviously ago. my worst is the second base fiasco that they love down there. So whatever. But my best, I love the universal DH. I wish it was a rule forever. Universal DH, just keep it. Eric, you can't get mad because you're asking for offense and now you don't want a universal DH.
That's a fair point.
Just put a runner on second every inning. And let's run up the score and just change it. Like,
Jordan, your intelligence has never been more sexy than right now.
Eric just looked at me so crazy, and the whole point was for more offense. Anyways, and I think, actually, I don't think the shower thing is that weird because it's kind of like Little League, you know, you kind of left with your jersey on, and I think it's going to be great for social media. I think it's going to be cool.
You didn't get into your Range Rover or your Corvette in your uni. You got that's the back true, of mom's but, van.
That's yeah, him, a juice these... box and some orange slices on the
you didn't have to walk through the Ritz-Carlton in your sweaty, stinky uniform.
Hey, do you realize that, you know, no post-game, well, there'll be a post-game spread, but everybody's going to get their own individualized lunchbox little thing to take home with them?
I love that. I think the players should choose, you know, who's in charge of which snacks go in the bag every game.
It's like flying on an airplane. I think, Brian, for me, the best idea for this particular season is I love the concept of the 60-man roster. Having guys that are interchangeable on a daily basis and being able to get younger guys more involved with the big league club. And then my worst, of course, but by reaction was the universal DH. It takes the strategy out. Even if you put a runner on second and then your pitcher's due up and you're pinch hitting, you got to decide, are you going to pinch hit? You're going to bunt? What are you going to do with that? It takes the strategy out of it. It's not all about offense. It's about baseball strategy. And the DH removes a large chunk of baseball strategy. So that's why I'm opposed to that part.
See, and for me, Jordan, I'm the only one who's consistent. I don't like either one of them because I'm a pitcher. At second base starting inning, and I don't want the DH to play the game.
Brian wants to see 0-0 games into the 12th. That's what Brian wants.
They're still done quickly. It's about time of game.
It's about time of game.
But here's one thing I think the baseball missed in this is by not expanding the playoffs in this goofy season, they really, really made a mistake.
Yep.
Because this is going to be such a crapshoot. I was doing some research, and I believe this is correct. In the 7 years that the Dodgers have won the National League West in a row, 2013 to 2019, I believe after 60 games, they've only been in first place one time after 60 games. And yet nobody would argue that they're not the most talented team in the National League. Yet there is a possibility that the Dodgers and the Yankees, the two best teams on paper, could reasonably not make the playoffs in this crazy 60-game year. I mean, really think about that. It is a possibility, whereas in 162 games, you got pretty good 80, 85% chance they're going to make it. In a 60-game, that percentage goes down to maybe 60, 65.
But isn't that what makes this thing a lot more interesting?
Not if you're the big wigs at the major networks that want the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series, it doesn't.
Well, then I would say that's the problem with everything.
Well, sure it is, but I'm just saying that's
going to be best. Issue.
I thought they missed a golden opportunity to add to the piggy bank, which we all know this is all about money anyways, and not expanding it. And then you never know. Who knows who might get in and get hot? And you could have somebody like the Mariners win the World Series, or Mike Trout and the Angels actually get into the playoffs and be the best player in the world.
You know, the way he said Mariners, it almost made him physically sick. I don't know. Hey, well, you got to get Seattle, Brian.
I don't. I picked the Mariners 3 times to make the playoffs, twice to go to the World Series in the last 7 years, and guess how many times that's happened? Yeah, not too often.
Before we move too far from it, guys, Eric, you mentioned you thought it was a good thing. Nobody else has a problem with 60-man rosters. I mean, come on, there's 10 guys that can be on the field at one time. Do you really need 5 additional guys for each player that's on the field at one time? I mean, how ridiculous is that? They make it through 162 games with 25 players on the roster, and now they're cutting it down to 60 games, and they have 60 players on the roster?
Well, they're not on the roster, Reg. They're the pool with which they can build their 26 to 30-man roster.
Yeah, but are there like free call-ups and send-downs, or do they still have to operate via the disabled list policy?
Yeah, they still have to operate the disabled list. There'll be a special COVID-19 disabled list, so they've got to have access to those, because there's no minor league season this year for the first time since 1901. No minor league.
So they're basically, to clarify, then they're expanding the 40-man roster just to a 60-man roster.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And then 30 guys will be active opening day.
Okay.
And And the availability to get them a little bit easier. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So.
I'm glad to hear that.
Let's move on. That'll be interesting to watch as we get into the fall.
I thought there were going to be like 40 guys sitting down in the bullpen, and I was going to have an issue with that.
No.
No, they'll be
glad you clarified.
They can only bring, I think there's.
Ballpark.
Yeah. It's the crowd. Brian, what is the active for the day? Is it 26 or 27 for
It's going to be 30 for 2 weeks. Then it's going to be 28 for two more weeks. And then basically the last 5 weeks of the season, it's going to be 26.
Okay.
So they're going to get a couple extra players, you know, as everybody kind of gets in better shape. But there will not be expanded September rosters like there have been in the past. It's 26 guys and that's it.
Before we move on from baseball, guys, because I know we got another segment after this, but, you know, I've been watching, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I've been watching a little bit of the KBO, and I've noticed that they have cardboard cutouts of fans behind home plate. Maybe, you know, like, is any one of us against submitting our own likeness and any likeness of any of our listeners?
Reg, you should mention that.
As cardboard cutouts?
No, funny you should mention that because actually I've been working on that the last 2 days. And because my name is on the season tickets of our group, I will be at every, at least a likeness of myself.
I love that.
Giants game this year. And I'll tell you the part that's really cool about this is that I will be able to sit next to my son Carter one more time, at least my likeness. We'll be able to sit next to my son Carter's likeness at the ballpark one more year.
And that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. That is so awesome.
There you go.
When you watch the Giants game at Oracle, look for me. I'll be like this.
and that's when we're behind 7-1. All right. Let's move on from baseball. Let's go. We're in this restart era, right? And we're getting ready to restart. And the NBA is going to restart in a bubble. Jordan loves the bubble.
I love the quarantine bubble. So, as you guys know, the NBA is, you know, restarting. They're going to have the 8-game kind of seeding regular season, I guess you can call it. And then they'll move into the play-in games for those last spots for the playoffs and then into the playoffs. But they're going to be in Florida, in Disney World, and they've created this bubble, which I think is so crazy and, of course, you know, has all the luxuries. So before I ask you guys, you know, what you would want in your quarantine bubble, a couple things they're going to have. Each hotel has a players-only lounge. So they're going to have, you know, PlayStations and Xbox with NBA 2K. Which is the video game for basketball. There's going to be arcade games, ping pong tables. There's going to be kind of a casino setup where they can play cards. Disney World even opened up the Animal Kingdom and the Wild Africa Trek. So they're going to have like a zoo option to kind of walk around and hang out. There's golf. If you need a haircut, there's barbers. There's manicurists, pedicurists, hair braiders. I mean, you name it, they have it. But the golden question for you guys is, if you had to be in your quarantine bubble, what would you want? What would you need? You know, what are you bringing with you?
That's easy. My wife.
Brian, you're Brian, good
that's
man.
That's against the NBA's rules. You can bring masseuse.
I could bring my masseuse.
But not your wife.
Oh, gosh.
Brian, you can bring
your... Guys, I don't know what to do. Eric's my masseuse.
You can bring your yoga instructor, but not your wife.
Okay. And I think, Eric, I think they've changed. So they said families can come once the second round of the playoffs occur. I think it's a 50-day period. So they're going to be without the families for almost 2 months. And then I guess the teams, for however many players they have on the roster, get those rooms for the family, and they have to quarantine as well. But
well that's good because after 50 days – the masseuse may be tired. I don't know. I'm glad, Brian. I am proud of you for taking your wife. I think that's me.
Let's get beyond that though, Brian. Okay, so let's say you know your wife is allowed. Let's say okay. What's your luxury item? What are you gonna bring? What's gonna help you pass the time? You know, when you're not on the court.
I think if I had my choice, I'd say give me my. I heard they got movie theaters available, right?
They have movie theaters.
Down a list of all the movies I want to watch on the big screen. Maybe old ones that I never got to watch on the big screen, and let me go to the theater and enjoy in a massage chair, right? Some movies on the big screen by myself, just with my wife. That sounds like a very cool way to pass the time till I got to go play a game.
Nice. I like it.
What about you, Reg?
Oh, Eric, I'm going to bring some books, man. I'm going to bring some books without a doubt. Obviously I have a wife and three kids. I'm taking them. I mean, it's Disneyland for goodness sakes. I don't have a kid over 8 years old. So it's like the happiest place on earth. I'm going to bring all of them. We're going to hit Epcot. We're going to hit
that being said though, Reg,
like Jordan's talking about, what's that?
Hang on. That being said, if you and your wife and your three kids are all in the same room for 50 days, place on earth.
I'll tell you.
Now that is a good question, Eric.
that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
And I love all of them. But I'm just saying.
But 50 days.
Yeah, no, you know what? That's a good question. I'm definitely bringing some books. I'm bringing a gaming system. But you know what, though? Like, I've been to Disneyland one or Disney World one time in my life, and it was awesome. And I feel like I could easily spend, you know, how long is the rest of this season going to take? 2 months? I could easily spend, you know, 2 months just exploring every nook and cranny, all of the hidden Mickeys. I'm going to get around, man.
You're in a bubble. You can't go to Disneyland.
No. Disney World. That's where this thing's being played.
Right, you can't just go on the ride, Disney though. It's World. Not open.
What?
No, you're in a bubble. You can't see people.
Taking my bubble around Disney World. I'm taking my bubble with me.
He thinks he's getting in line for Space Mountain every day. Like,
you're darn right I am.
I guess that doesn't defeat the purpose of the bubble. I think for me, and this will tell you exactly how old I am, because I am old. I would take my posse, which would include myself and my son and my son-in-law and my other son-in-law.
And you get to go twice, Reg. Woo-hoo!
But we can't go on any rides. What the heck, Jordan?
Yeah, but I'm bringing a bunch of board games, and we're gonna play games is what we're going to do.
Hey, Jordan, did you notice?
He said son-in-law,
no daughters, no daughter-in-law. I don't know, but he might want to backtrack that. Yeah, well, a little bit.
I wouldn't bring them because I don't think they would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think they would like to come at the playoff spot, you know, okay. when it means something.
Eric, I picked up a new board game today, actually. So you
attaboy. Attaboy.
We'll check it out.
Along with us playing board games, we do have to have a popcorn machine with butter, and then we'll be good.
That's sure they got that for you.
That's a given.
Would your masseuse approve?
But Eric, I'll bring you some from the movie theater.
There you go. Yeah,
we got a social distance, Brian. I can't eat your popcorn.
Well, you ain't eat my popcorn. I'm gonna get a big tub. I'm gonna put it on in front of the floor you're on. You can come get it from the stairwell and take it to your room.
Okay. Well, there you go.
All right, Jordan, now that you can bring some sanity to this insanity here.
What would you bring to your bowl, Jordan?
You know, I'm bringing my golf clubs. That's going to be first off. I'm bringing my golf clubs because they have a golf links course that they're actually going to have for the players, which I think is awesome. I mean, even like a Top Golf, right, would be super cool just to hang out at and to kill time.
Okay.
And do something, right? And you know, just because you were talking about my above ground pool, I'm gonna bring my own above ground pool. It's gonna be decked out. You know, this is gonna be in a different, you know, realm where I'm rich and I have money and all these things, you know.
So Jordan's gonna pimp his pool.
My pool, I'm going to have my own above ground pool, my isolation pool, you know, by myself over there on my balcony looking over Epcot.
Hey, but nice. Jordan, why don't you bring the pool to the theater and we'll social distance at each end of the pool and we watch flicks.
There we go.
See?
And Eric and I will bring our swaggy floaties.
Yes, and popcorn. It might get soggy, but we'll bring it anyway.
You know, I think the best thing, though, about this thing, I think, you know, like social media is going to be all over this. I think they should do a 30 for 30 on it, you know, the NBA quarantine bubble at Disney World, you know, and I think that thing is going to be awesome in a couple years, you know.
Oh, I think
they're definitely going to have to make multiple versions of it.
Hey, just follow some of the
really
characters,
interesting to
you know?
Get like one season from a different player's perspective. Like each season is from a different player's perspective, you know? That'd be really cool. I like that idea, Jordan.
Just grab J.R. Smith, JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Who else do we need in there? I'm sure Swaggy P can find a way to make an appearance. I don't know if he's on a team right now, but he'll make an appearance on there.
No, but he's in a posse somewhere.
He's definitely in a posse somewhere.
He's in JaVale McGee's posse.
100%. But yeah, just grab those guys. Maybe a Draymond. He might be cool to follow.
Love it.
Okay. All right. So as we start talking about this bubble, we're also talking about all the sports restarting. My question is, right now, based on the current climate, do we actually think we're going to get a restart?
Well, guys, I just saw today, who was it? The Utah Jazz had a COVID outbreak in their camp.
Was it the Denver Nuggets.
That's right, Denver Nuggets. So, I mean, it depends. I think it's going to depend on the public's view of reopening. If the public gets behind, you know, I'm talking about the general populace in the United States, if they get behind the idea of, you know, if people start jumping on the bandwagon of herd mentality, or if, you know, obviously if there's some sort of inoculation that comes out,
antiviral
vaccination, if that comes out, or if people just get tired of sitting around at home and they're so tired at a certain point where they're ready to just jump back to life as normal, maybe with masks, maybe with social distancing, but they care a lot less about contracting the virus. Not saying one way is right or the other, but if the general population moves in that direction, I think it's going to be a lot easier for major sports to return to activity as normal, where you know, if there's an outbreak in a particular sport or within a particular team, maybe that one player gets removed, but everybody else is allowed to continue playing, versus what the leagues currently have in place. Whereas if there's an outbreak, you know, there's a lot of hoops to jump through before that team can take the field or the court again. So I think it comes down honestly to public perception. And I think it's going to change. Like, not to get political, but it's going to change very drastically in one direction or the other come November.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Reg. And I think it's going to be interesting because, I mean, we're talking about the basketball season. I mean, this thing's right around the corner, right? I mean, we're about almost less than a month away from, you know, when this whole thing is going to be full of go. And there's going to be a lot of changes, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And as things lead up, I'm sure there'll be more and more talk about it. And, you know, we'll have to see how it goes.
You know, I think one thing's interesting, Jordan, baseball is going to start and play an entire season and its playoffs. They're going to start a week before basketball restarts, and they're going to end about 2.5 weeks after. So they're going to complete an entire season and their playoffs in 3.5 more weeks than basketball is going to play 8 games and their playoffs. Think about that for a second. And baseball, as Eric's talked about, baseball's outside. It is the most social distance sport. If there's any sport that's going to make it, it's going to be baseball. I'm just curious. You've got some big time superstars with family members that are going to have babies and all that kind of stuff. Big time superstars. I just wonder if they're going to really want to commit to this. I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of peer pressure from players to get some guys to commit to this and give up on seeing their kid when the baby's born. If there's any sort of medical illness or any sort of issue, I just wonder if that we may not have a big, big time player jump ship in baseball, especially if their team gets off to a bad start.
Well, you just had the first three baseball players already come out and say it. And Zimmerman, Ryan Zimmerman, was one of them. Not the star he used to be, but still a name off of a world championship team that, you know, is going to get some attention. Mike Leake, a former Giant, another one, a pitcher.
Ian Desmond may be the most talented player that has opted out thus far. You look at his numbers, yeah. And he's averaged 20 home runs and 75 RBIs the last 2 years.
Yeah, so you're going to start seeing a lot of guys, I think, and not just in baseball. I think baseball will probably be the fewest. I think you'll see a ton in basketball. I mean, the only smart thing about them going to just shrinking to 22 teams and, you know, proceeding forward with the way they were is if you were team number 30, like, or the Warriors, right?
No, the Warriors were number 30, just so you know.
You're going to have a lot of guys that would have on the restart said, you know, I'm going to choose not to. And you know, and then when you look at the NFL, because it is the least social distanced, the most probably contagious of all of the sports, there's going to be a lot of guys that think real hard about that, potentially, I think.
And the largest rosters, too.
I think that one. So I'm not 100% confident we're going to restart all of these things, to be honest.
Eric, you know, I saw DeMarcus Cousins opted out. You know, I mean, he's a free agent, but, you know, Boogie's not playing. He's not about it. He's not about it until next year. Wants to prepare for 2020, 2021.
So let's just wrap this up, and let's throw one more thing out there. This weekend, boys, the 4th of July weekend, typically a big weekend for sports, typically a big weekend for picnics and parties and fireworks. But, you know, this weekend, you watching any of the sports that are on air? Are you going to watch golf, soccer, racing, maybe KBO? What are you watching this weekend, Reg?
Between those four, I am most likely to watch – well – I should say this. My son is a huge NASCAR fan, and that is completely of his own volition. I don't know a thing about the sport, or I didn't know. I should say I didn't know a thing about the sport until he got into it, and you know now we kind of root for some guys here and there. So we may turn that on. You know, I'm not embarrassed to say that I've watched a little bit of the KBO and I've turned on some soccer, you know, honestly, like there's nothing else on. I've watched a little of the European leagues, you know, it's something that's on TV. I like the noise in the background. I don't really have a rooting interest per se, except for the 15 minutes that it's on and I might pull for a certain squad or whatever. And
well, you just like the colored uniforms that they, whichever color
you like. They're pretty, Eric.
So you know where NASCAR is this weekend, right?
I don't, honestly.
They're at the Brickyard 400. They're at the Brickyard 400 in Indy.
Okay.
I will watch that. I'll probably flip that on at some point during the day. That'll be my choice. Jordan, how about you?
You know, I've been really into golf lately. So I'll probably throw on some golf. I don't know if I'm watching, you know, a ton of it, but between that and Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, I think I'll cover it. You know, I think I'll be all right. Cause I love watching Guy Fieri. There's no doubt.
Jordan, just so you know, great minds think alike. That sounds exactly what I've been doing on the weekends. A lot of Triple D and a little bit of golf.
That's exactly right.
If I watch Triple D, it just makes me want to go eat. And I've got a big
go eat anywhere, so it's the best way to watch it.
It just makes me hungry, and I don't need to be hungry.
This is a side note, but the worst thing to watch right now is they have a show called The Best Thing I Ever Ate on the Food Network.
Yeah.
And that is just like torture.
Oh, that's brutal.
I, I want to start brutal. Making a list and go visit all of those places, right?
I will tell you right now, if you need to break an eating habit, you can flip on the History Channel and watch, man, I can't even remember the name of the show off the top of my head. It's like History Eats or something like that. But these two dudes will sit down and open a package of like Cheez-Its from 1957. And they'll take turns taking bites of food that's super old. You know, they'll eat stuff from the 1950s. It's still in its packaging, but come on. It's the grossest thing ever. So if you guys need a break, if you watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and you got a hunger craving, just flip on over to the History Channel and watch the grossest thing ever.
Ugh. Wow! Thank you, Reggie.
I'm not eat anymore tonight. Ugh.
Oh my gosh! Well, I want to thank y'all for joining us for episode 84 of Get in the Game. It was our summer 2020 edition. We covered a little Cam Newton news. We talked a little bit about the NBA and MLB restarts. Talked about who or who may not be there. We hoped you enjoyed it. We had a good time doing it. For my partner, Brian Nelson, the kid, Jordan Santa Maria, the professor, Reggie Wright. My name is Eric Davis saying thanks for listening. And remember this one thing. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, get in the game.
You've been listening to Get in the Game, an exclusive presentation of the Blue Chip Sports Network. Get in the Game with Eric, Brian, Reggie, and Jordan on iTunes, the Blue Chip Broadcasting YouTube channel, and BlueChipBroadcasting.com.